Well, glad you're back. We last left the Martin Trio somewhere in the hills of Gettysburg, looking for parts for the time machine to try to put it back together. And we're up to Chapter 6, The Mysterious M.
Welcome to the Gettysburg Paradox.
Jude woke to the smell of death. The bodies were still being collected from the fields, wagon after wagon, headed to the makeshift graves being dug beyond the ridge. He tried to focus on the machine parts. Clara and Flynn had spread them across the hayloft floor in a careful arrangement, but the view was not encouraging. Of the 37 pieces they'd recovered, only 18 seemed functional. "Can we make it work?" Clara asked. "Maybe." Jude turned the cesium oscillator in his hands, studying the crack in its housing. "If I can repair this, and if the stabilizer functions, and if we can improvise a power source, we might be able to build just a beacon. I mean, it's not a time machine, but it could signal Papa. We'd have to keep it running for days, though." "We might not have that long," Flynn warned. "I know." General Chamberlain arrived at mid-morning, his face drawn, but his eyes alert. He'd been up all night, he explained, coordinating the aftermath of the battle, organizing burial details, securing prisoners, preparing for Lee's expected retreat. "I have a letter," he said. "This was found on a Confederate soldier killed during yesterday's fighting. The courier was trying to reach Richmond, probably with reports of the battle's outcome." He handed the envelope to Jude. Inside was a single sheet of paper, covered in the same angular handwriting as the previous message. "The assault has failed. The window for Operation Independence is closing. The visitors must be eliminated before July 4th. Use the asset, M." "The asset," Flynn repeated. "What does that mean?" "I don't know, but there's more," Chamberlain's voice dropped. "I made inquiries through my intelligence contacts. M appears in several intercepted Confederate communications, always as an initial, always connected to unusual references, mentions of temporal events, references to visitors from beyond. Whoever this person is, they've been coordinating something for months." "A spy network?" "Something larger. Something that reaches high into the Confederate command structure." Chamberlain met their eyes. "I believe we're dealing with someone who has knowledge similar to yours. Someone who understands time travel." Clara felt a chill down her spine. "Another traveler? And someone working with the Confederacy?" "But why?" Jude asked. "If they're from the future, they know the South is going to lose. Why would they..." "If you could alter history," Chamberlain said slowly, "if you could prevent the Union Army at Gettysburg, or assassinate President Lincoln, or somehow tip the balance of this war, the consequences would be unimaginable." "And M is trying to make that happen," Flynn said. "It appears so." Jude was quiet for a long moment, his mind racing. Then, "But what about the letter Clara found, the forged assassination warning?" "It was meant to distract us." Clara's eyes widened. "Lincoln, tomorrow, July 4th, he's coming to commemorate the victory." Clara's voice was urgent. "What if the assassination warning isn't fake? What if M wants us to think it's a distraction, so we'll ignore it? And then they'll actually kill Lincoln." "A double bluff," Jude breathed. "Make us believe the threat is fake, so we won't stop the real one." Chamberlain's face had gone pale. "I need to alert General Meade. If there's even a chance..." "Wait!" Jude grabbed his arm. "If we alert everyone, M will know. They'll change their plan, go underground. We need to find M first, tonight, before Lincoln arrives." Jude's jaw was set. "The letter mentions an asset. Someone M is counting on to do the actual killing. If we can find the asset, we will find M." "That's an enormous risk. But I'll give you until dawn. If you haven't found anything by then, I'm alerting the full command structure. He pulled a pistol from his belt and handed it to Jude. I hope to God you know what you're doing. So do I, Jude said quietly. We can start with the Confederate prisoners, but there's 5,000 of them. Flynn had a different idea. The drummer boy, he said, Charlie, the one who carried my message to Clara and Jude, he's Confederate. He moves between the lines. If anyone knows about secret operations... But he's a child, Clara objected. He can't be more than 12. Well, so are we, practically, Flynn met her eyes, and he's already helped us once. After 2 hours of searching, they finally located him in a small barn on the outskirts of town. I remember you, Charlie said when Flynn approached. The future boy. Your message get through okay? It did, thank you. I need to ask you something, Flynn said. Something important. Have you ever heard of someone called M in the Confederate command? Charlie's face went carefully blank. I don't know what you mean. I think you do, Flynn said, and we need your help. Someone is planning something bad, something that could hurt a lot of people. We're trying to stop it, but we need information. And why should I help Yankees? Because we're not Yankees. We're not from either side, Flynn hesitated, then made a decision. We're from the future, 2025. We got sent back in time by accident, and now we're stuck here, trying to fix things and get home. Charlie stared at him for a long moment. Then, surprisingly, he laughed. I know. You what? I know you're from the future. M told us. Charlie's eyes narrowed. M said strangers would come. Dressed strangely, speaking strangely, carrying strange devices. She said they'd try to interfere with the plan. Said we should report any sightings immediately. Flynn's heart was pounding. Who is M, Charlie? Where can we find them? I can't tell you that. Please. I can't tell you because I don't know, Charlie's voice dropped. Nobody sees M directly. Just messages, orders passed through couriers. But there's... someone who might know more, he hesitated. There's a woman, a Confederate sympathizer. She lives on a farm about 2 miles south near the Round Tops. She handles communications for local operations. Her name? Mrs. Thornton. Clara, who had been listening silently, suddenly grabbed her brother's arm. Jude, the paradox in Papa's notes. Jude's eyes went wide. The Thornton paradox. Papa named it after... After someone who studied time travel, Clara turned to Charlie. This Mrs. Thornton, does she have a first name? Charlie nodded slowly. Margaret. Margaret Thornton. Clara, Flynn, and Jude looked at each other. M isn't just a letter, Clara breathed. It's her initial. Margaret Thornton. M. She's M. Well, well, didn't expect that, but maybe now we know who M is. Tune in next time for more of the Martin Mysteries and Adventures.